envision three female attorneys coming together to have our voices heard. Each of us would have different opinions, different passions, different backgrounds, and different views. Although we are different and unique, we are able to come together to discuss our experiences navigating through the legal profession and this thing called life. Now, the vision has come alive, and we invite you each and every week to listen to us as we talk about what's trending in the news and our legal insight. Tackle real life issues that affect not only us as attorneys, but us as women of color. Disclaimer: this podcast is intended to provide entertainment and general information. The information provided and the views given are not intended to constitute legal advice and should not be relied upon as legal representation. All views expressed on this podcast are our own and do not represent the opinions of any entity whatsoever we are affiliated with now or will be affiliated with in the future. Hey guys, welcome back to our podcast, No Further Questions. I hope everybody had a good 4th of July weekend. Also, I want to do some quick shout outs. Congratulations to our co-host, Samantha, on her wedding. She marries now.
Show the ring.
She is married now, so fella, she's off the market.
I am off the market, but it's still a hot girl summer.
And I'm still trying to get food out. Well, on today's episode, we're going to be talking about does it matter whether you attend a HBCU or a PWI? But before we get started, let's go ahead and, you know, introduce our other favorite co-host.
Hey guys, it's Taria, LSU. Go Tigers.
Anyway,
PWI.
And it goes to, like, we're going to go into, does it matter whether you attend a HBCU or a PWI? We have a special guest with us. I'm going to have him introduce himself. He is a Morehouse man, and he's single, ladies.
Yeah, this is true.
I'm sorry, allegedly. Alleged. Single.
Y'all alleged. Can't tell he a Morehouse man.
Right.
Shout out the house. All right.
Introduce yourself.
My name is Justin Dandridge Smith. I am a graduate of Morehouse College. Do I need to give the class and all that?
It's up to it's you.
Class of 05. It's true. It's
shout
true.
Out.
Yeah, it's class of 05, Morehouse College. Graduate of Thurgood Marshall School of Law, Texas Southern University, where I have my JD, as well as Texas Southern University for my Master's in Healthcare Administration.
Oh, so you all the way HBCU.
He is HB. Okay. He puts the B.
Okay.
Wait a minute. What?
The B.
In HBCU?
In HBCU.
Okay. Well, us girls are PWI. I mean, I went to Stephen F. Austin State University, Axum Jackson, graduated in 2002.
I went to Baylor University, Sikkim Bears, a graduate of 2008. And then I went to law school at South Texas College of Law.
We gotta get apart. Well, go ahead, Toria.
And then I went to the Louisiana State University in Baton Rouge, the only one that we have, where we bleed purple and gold.
Eight.
Okay. Mm. Class of 2007.
Sick.
We're great. We're
y'all
amazing.
May be sick if you got purple and gold blood.
I mean, if they got purple and white.
Can I just ask a quick question for the people that don't know? What is a PWI?
Oh, now he's trying to be the host of the
show.
This is
where
he's trying to take
over. He
want to
be the host.
I'm not the host. I just had to ask that. Okay, I'm so happy to be here, y'all. Thank you so much.
So what is HBCU?
Yeah.
We can go there.
Let's go there.
Okay, yes, ma'am.
So go
I follow instructions, first of all.
So what is an HBCU, and it will tell you what a PWI is.
HBCU stands for Historically Black Colleges and Universities.
They told you that at Morehouse?
I wish we had.
Is that what y'all had to learn on the first day?
No, actually, to be honest with you, we can go into that story, but I was actually raised on a HBCU. It's been one of those things in my family that we're very proud of.
Okay, cool. Well, for those that don't know, PWI is predominantly white institution. So if you didn't go to an HBCU, then if you went to undergrad, you went to a PWI, which is a predominantly white institution.
You may have. You may have went to another institution.
Mm-hmm. That's why I said if you went to okay, so we're discussing, no offense to anybody, four-year universities, because that's all we know. That's just what we know personally.
All right.
We're not talking about other. Personally, we all at this table went to a four-year university.
That's correct.
Education.
Mm-hmm. Right. So that's what we're going to discuss with. So let's get right into it. What does, okay, so you gave us a little history. What does HBCU stand for? Mm-hmm. But, Mr. Justin, do you know the history and why it was created? Since you bleed HBCU, since you said your family is, you know, well-versed in that show culture and stuff, do you know its history?
Well, I'm not going to speak for everyone, and I know that being on this podcast, they're going to be sweeping generalizations. I'm getting ready for that right now.
But you a Morehouse man. They ain't got nothing to do with that. You a Morehouse man.
But you can tell that.
The stereotypes.
You can tell that. You just can't tell us much. That's what they say. But as far as the history of HBCUs, there's a lot of different schools out there. And I appreciate Samantha had some research that she passed along to me that I even had to refresh myself on. But it started... for the most part, as far as the private institutions, because they're private institutions as well as public institutions, a large, substantial amount, let me say that, substantial amount came post-Reconstruction era. Morehouse College was founded in 1867. So what does post-Reconstruction mean? We're getting out of the Civil War. We're going into Reconstruction.
We're not slaves anymore. We are...
Technically.
Reconstructed.
We free-ish.
Yeah, we'll go with that.
We're gonna say we free.
Maybe not in Texas though. Maybe
we still wasn't free.
Y'all didn't tell
that
us
that whole June 19th thing. We have to talk about that sometime some more.
Let's stay focused on why. Right.
That's a good
one. But I would just like to say it's pronounced Juneteenth. It's not June 19th.
So you must not be in Texas.
I didn't say June 19th.
Yes,
I
said
June
19th. No, you said
I have a Southern draw.
Okay,
that was a long draw.
Right.
The camera's gonna play it back. The camera's gonna play it back. I know what I was talking about.
Okay,
whatever.
Okay, so back to focus. So HBCUs were started after some of them were started after the Reconstruction era.
And then private institutions, a large amount of them were based off of, just to be honest with you, Jim Crow, meaning separate was considered equal under the law. Supreme Court even ruled those things, and we all recognize that. Obviously, Brown versus Board of Education came to eradicate that, and we still have effects right now, right? We still have schools that are predominantly black, predominantly white, for whatever reasons that they are, even if it's not a legalized segregation. But a school like Texas Southern, even Texas Southern and Thurgood Marshall School of Law, which is part of the larger Texas Southern University, was based off of a lawsuit. Texas Southern is considered the house that Sweat built. Heman Sweat was a plaintiff in a case against UT, University of Texas, for those people outside of Texas. Not University of Tennessee, but shout out to Tennessee. I'm from, born in Houston, raised in Memphis, Tennessee, so I got to shout out those places. I'm looking at the screen up there.
Okay.
All right. So I digress.
Don't stay focused.
I digress.
Is that
I digress.
A Morehouse thing? But go ahead.
I digress. Now, so you had public institutions that were built as accommodations to basically keep us out of other institutions, right?
So PWI institutions?
Yeah, they didn't want y'all in there.
Right.
They didn't
they
know
did.
That they wanted us in there. They wanted us.
We
they just didn't
in.
Know.
You right. kicked down the door.
Some right. people don't like change, you know? So you just have to force change upon others sometimes. And then you're like, hey, it's not so bad, right? That's where we are, kind of, sort of.
Kind of, sort of. Not so bad, kind of, sort of. All right. That's
yes.
a quotable. That's a quote.
Yes, but you know, one thing that stood out to me when kind of researching for this particular episode was I didn't know that a lot of the black churches were kind of behind getting the HBCU started. I mean, they weren't the only people, but they were a big catalyst in getting some of these institutions started. With the money and also with the government, because it was created through the Higher Education Act of like 1965.
But I can see that though, because back then, you know, church was your foundation.
Yeah,
church was the root. So if there was nowhere for us to go, then you have to create something for us. And then during slavery, you were in the church.
Yeah,
you were singing in the church. You know, that's what you getting your that's where you getting your save from, like your hope and your you know, to for us to be. Have some type of, I guess, freedom in our mind. So I can definitely see how the church was behind HBCUs getting started and funding it and things like that. So,
but somehow, and I guess that's why we're here today, we have gotten into the battle of PWIs versus HBCUs. And when I say that, I say it kind of, you know, funny. It's banter back and forth. But I think that there is a difference when you run into maybe your old grandma or your mom's colleague, older generation, and they are, some of them are offended that you didn't go to HBCU. They were like, why didn't you go to Prairie View A&M? I went there. My granddaughter went there. Why didn't you want to go there?
That's why I didn't go. My brother went to PV. I didn't want to go where he went.
Shout out to PV.
Like, I didn't want to go. I personally, my little backstory, I wanted to go to Dillard's in New Orleans. That's
why
I want to
go.
I got it. Okay, so.
Because is it Dillard at HBCU
it
as
is.
Well?
Okay. But here's the thing about HBCUs, don't come attacking me on my Instagram and things like that.
I can leave it alone. I'll let y'all do it.
The reason why I did not go, because two reasons. One, my daddy was like, that's too far. If anything happened to you, I can't get you. I'm from Dallas. So he was like, it's just too far. Secondly, Stephen F. Austin and University of Tulsa, both PWIs, also in a timely manner, sent their like acceptance letter, scholarships, things like that. Dillard called me the day I was going to orientation. No, I'm sorry. I think the week I was getting ready to move into Stephen F. Austin to tell me that I was accepted into their school. Ooh. It's too late. So that's why I didn't go. I couldn't go to Dillard because my father wasn't going to let me go. But still at the same time.
Still at the same time, it was your first choice.
That okay, was my first time. But they waited too long. So if I would have sat and waited on Dillard, I would have been at school.
Okay.
You know what?
Ladies,
you know, sometimes you just, you know, you have to make a decision. Am I going to let that man just go on be? Or am I going to move on? Now, when he picks somebody else and settles on down and.
Okay, Tari, I'm sorry. We have to cut off. Go ahead. I don't.
Like, that's a Morehouse. Now we get you into dating advice. Okay, Tari, so what's your story?
What
were
you going to say?
I can tell you right now, with Tari, HBCU was never her first choice.
Yes,
so the story is going to be different.
Right.
It was not. I grew up in a PWN, a predominantly white neighborhood. And so I grew up normally being the only one. And I really didn't look at any HBCUs. I think the only one that even kind of came in my, I guess, rearview mirror would be Spelman. But then there was the whole idea of all the women. And
shout out to Spelman.
Shout out to Spelman. So from there, I said Georgetown or... where else did I look? I looked in California. I didn't know many people that had gone to HBCUs before. The few that I did know went to, like, Tuskegee. My cousin went to Prairie View. And they just had really kind of nightmare experiences as to financial aid and just how the whole process was working. And so that was, for me, something that I didn't want to deal with. I knew I wanted to be a doctor one day. And I said, what we're not going to do is play around with my education. So for me, it was... I'm going to go to a predominantly white institution. This does not mean that I'm less black than the next person, that I don't love my black people. It was just, this is a decision for me. And I think that's sometimes where, when this discussion happens, a lot of times when you choose to go to a PWI, you don't get as much respect from the HBCU people because you did make this choice. It's almost like you turned your back on the whole entire race. When you picked your education choice.
Like you didn't pay attention to a different world when it was on.
I watched it, but that's not how the real schools are.
That's not.
Hey, you would be surprised. But, you know, if I just may insert myself, I'll say this. No experience is monolithic, right? Like everybody has their own experiences and whatever reason they chose a school. It shouldn't be that serious. You know, if I know that you went to that school, more power to you. You're a college graduate.
Right.
Congratulations. I think that's great, right? Now, the thing about that is when you say I went to this school, what are you saying about the other schools that you didn't choose? Now, you know, at the end of the day, we're college graduates. I can respect you as that. We should be allies. You know, that's what we have. You know, even in the larger schools, you got your black student associations, right? You know that there's something about you that at least if you can find somebody that has a common understanding, it's at least helpful, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's the same thing here, you know. Y'all on one side as far as the school, but we're still on the same side.
Yeah. I went to predominantly white institutions well, institute, both of them, because I went to predominantly Black high school.
Oh, yeah,
and that was a different experience, right? But it was fun, but I felt like I hadn't experienced the other side, right? Mm-hmm. Because even though it was kind of weird, I lived in a predominantly white neighborhood, but because my mom worked at the school district, I went to the school district that she was a assistant principal and principal at, and I enjoyed it, but I also felt like this is not real in the sense of I'm not going to walk into any place when I get into corporate America or wherever I want to be, and it's everyone that's that looks like me in the same class as me, and I'm comfortable, everyone listens to the same music as me. And so I was like, hey, I wanted to try something a little different. But I even went a step further and went to a private Baptist institution, which that may have been like the polar opposite of of a HBCU in some respects. So, but then also I will say this, once I got there, there were things, I went into extreme culture shock. Like, hey, like nobody, I was on campus with people and it wasn't even like a racist thing. It was just literally where people, some of my classmates had never interacted with an African-American person. And it wasn't like, ugh, get away from me or like some racist things, but it's literally like they just went to a high school and their neighborhood didn't have any African-American people or any Black people, and they had never really, other than TV, they had never really interacted with African-Americans before. And I thought that this was, you know, insane to me that you can live in this bubble, you know, because I don't think that there is any African-American student that can say, hey, I've never interacted with a non-Black American before. So I just thought that that was that. That's why I chose PWI, and I love my PWI now. But I had to create a space, I guess, for myself. So I restarted the NAACP there, the chapter there, because you do at a PWI, you do still need fellowship in safe spaces, in spaces where you can just be who you are and see people like you. But I think when I was looking at HBCUs, I felt like it would be more of the same of what I had in high school. And I didn't know if I really wanted that same experience or if I wanted to try something new.
Well, as far as HBCUs, like I said before, you got the small private ones and you got the larger state institutions. So an example of that, you would have Texas Southern and PV, right? Those are larger state-funded institutions. But then you have Morehouse and Spelman. They're smaller in size. They have pretty sizable endowments, but they're smaller in size. And they have that, depending on how you feel about it, they have a cozier feel in those kind of respects, right? So there's still, there are different respects. But ironically enough, we had an NAACP chapter. We had social activism and things of that nature as well. And ironically enough, even further, at Thurgood Marshall School of Law, I met a lot of my colleagues now being a member of Black Law Students Association. So I met people that I now consider friends that went to UT and Texas Tech and so on and so forth. And we still had some level of camaraderie and understanding.
Yeah. So a little bit off topic, when you mentioned like PV or whatever, in your opinion, because, you know, PV is part of the Texas A&M system.
Hold on. Don't say PV or whatever. I don't want
I'm
all
sorry,
the
Prairie
View people.
Right, because it's a big Prairie View culture here.
They're very aggressive. They alumni. Are. They are they very are, aggressive
yes,
people.
They take over Houston, Texas.
PV,
Prairie
know,
View A&M
shout out.
Uh-huh. Has been an I don't know if you know this, but I think, I mean, I'm correct me if I'm wrong. I don't know how much you know this.
Absorbed by the A&M system?
Yes. Are they a part? They are a part of the Texas A&M system?
Prairie View.
Prairie
yes.
View.
It
right.
has been absorbed by the A&M
right.
university
so then,
system. Uh-huh.
So I guess, does that make it seem like, just in your opinion or whatever, does that still is that still like an HBCU?
What's the first word in HBCU?
Historically Black.
Historically.
So, because they're historically Black.
there's still that foundation. And I don't want us to
Taria, just, your faith.
Just even as we move forward in all these institutions, we can't forget the history that they came out of. Like, that's part of the tradition.
Who was first in Texas, Prairie View or Texas Southern? Was it Texas Southern?
I'm not going to lie. I didn't research that one. That's on the spot. I would assume.
Let's go back. Let's just trickle on back. Now, historically, black universities were created because there was not a place for us to go, correct?
That's a good way of saying it.
Okay.
That's a good way of saying it. But we can go further.
Predominantly white institutions, you expect to see, I'm going to say 75 to 80% of the white culture there, correct?
Of the caucus or persuasion.
If I go to HBCU, I'm expecting to see predominantly African American, black.
Depending on what institution. If you go to Thurgood Marshall School of Law, you'll see a rainbow.
We're going to talk about universities. We're not going to talk about undergrad.
Okay, we're talking about undergrad even. You still see a rainbow because you have the pharmacy program, you have engineering, you have business, so on and so forth. TSU is a very diverse campus.
TSU is the exception.
Not exactly. Like I said before, we have private institutions, we have public institutions.
TSU is an exception to the HBCU.
Very exceptional school.
No, because I was in Baton Rouge, and Southern is one of the largest HBCUs in the country, mm-hmm. and it's predominantly black.
Of course. I'm not saying that you're not going to see black people at an HBCU, obviously.
Okay.
You see black people at HBCU.
Now, those black institutions are funded by donors and endowments, correct?
Endowments are a major source for most universities.
If a donor, a la Texas A&M, is now funding that school and they've been absorbed by that, they're getting the privileges of being absorbed by PWI.
Okay.
But I see where you're going there. I do. But also you have to remember that, good or bad, but when they were first started, some of the PWI institutions funded HBCUs because they did not want those students to go there. So I don't see how A&M absorbing Prairie View is any different than another school giving a HBCU money because they don't want you at their school. You get what I'm saying?
I get what you're saying. I just think that...
Bring it home for me.
You know exactly where I'm going.
I don't.
You don't know where I'm going?
No.
That if a major PWI absorbs an HBCU, that now we're going to keep it as an HBCU?
What does HBCU stand for? Historically, you can't take away the history of what it is. And, you know, it's ironic. We're saying predominantly white institutions. Like, how often do we say PWI, general communication?
I feel like the debate between HBCU and PWI is where PWI started. Because when I was going to college, we didn't say PWI. It was just like Stephen F. Austin, Grambling.
You just went to a school. Yeah.
But I feel like since we've all
distinguished,
social media has gotten bigger. I feel like, you know, since everything is going on, there is, and I feel like the HBCU students have made it a difference to say HBCU versus PWI. Like, I think in the beginning it didn't care where you went to school. We all went to school. We all had an education. But then, like you said, with PWI, I really think HBCU made it a point to talk about and reference, PWI. I think that's where the distinction came from.
So are you asserting that PWI is like a condescending tone?
I think y'all made it to be a condescending tone. I have no problem that I went to Stephen F. Austin. And then I went to Thomas M. Cooley for law school.
Okay.
I don't have a problem. I just think that, and I have a lot of friends, and I respect HBCUs. I have a lot of friends that went there. You know, like I said, I wanted to go to Dillard. I just feel like maybe the climate that we're in, in my opinion, I think HBCU students a lot turned it into a debate.
I think that if I could be fair, I think that coming from a PWI standpoint, HBCU students and alum, they have a sense of pride there. And I think it's different because they learn more about our culture's like the history of our culture, that we don't really, unless we took a class, we don't really learn. Like, you went to LSU, they're not talking about, okay, guys, this used to be a slave plantation, or, you know, mm-hmm. like they're not talking about, oh, I went to Baylor, hey guys, we just started letting black people in, you know, a couple years ago, let's talk about it. Nobody's talking about that. So I think that it's a give and a take. I think that because HBCU students are so proud that they're from HBCUs, it's like whatever you say to them, they got to talk about HBCUs. It'd be like, how was your day today? Today was great. You want to know why? Because I went to Preview A&M University. Like, okay. I mean, I just asked how you was doing. You know? Like, what that's you only doing. That's coffee.
First
have
of all,
cream,
that's only during homecoming.
TSU.
That's only.
Baby.
That's only around like homecoming graduation.
No, it's like it's literally just a conversation. And I think for PWI students, we do have a sense of pride, but it's not like, you know, I'm not going to be like, hey, you know, Samantha, how's your day? It's great because I went to Baylor University today. Sick'em Bears.
Hey.
What you know about it? And then somebody come out the background. You know? Like,
I'll be honest, though.
During football season, I talk a lot of trash.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I do. So, football season, yes. But even here to say
but what if LSU had a demographic that was similar to its football team and basketball team? High tech.
What was that?
Do you mean?
What was that word?
So you saying that the pride might be different, or like
my pride is
No. I'm not even going to pride. No, what I'm basically saying is that at certain times, larger institutions, I don't even want to even say PWI right now. Let's go to larger institutions right now, because larger institutions, when it serves a certain purpose, they can bring a piece of our demographic to serve that purpose, i.e. LSU football, Alabama, Roll Tide, you know, so on and so forth. Those are large institutions. There are smaller institutions as well. But what if those demographics were similar in the student body?
Okay, so
my tier one degree does exactly what it needs to do.
Oh, no. You have a degree. That's the big deal out of this, y'all.
I just want to say my husband coaches football, so I'm not going to engage in any of this. I don't know any of these demographics in football. We just know faith, football, and family.
Okay.
But did you hear she said husband, though? I just want to throw that out there.
Ow.
It's different now.
Ow.
We need to move on. Anyway, let's talk about, okay, so.
Because we're going to be here for a while over here.
Because you said something that kind of stuck out to me. And you said that my tier one degree has served you well, right?
She did.
So do you think that attending a PWI or a HBCU better prepares you for the real world? And when you say the real world, we mean, you know, getting a job or being able to network, quote unquote. I hate that term, but, you know, making friends that can move you in different places, different opportunities.
So I would start off the conversation because when we first made this decision that we're going to have this PWI versus HBCU, I started talking to my friends that went to HBCUs, right? And
see, hi.
I'm just having a good day.
Hey.
I believe that the popular HBCUs, your Howards, your Morehouse, your Spelman, in Texas, we'll talk about TSU.
Shout out to
and PV, right? And LSU, or Louisiana, we can talk about Southern, Alabama, Tuskegee. The popular ones, I feel like it doesn't, the PWI versus HBCU doesn't matter, right? Mm-hmm. If my degree says Howard University, I'm going to get my foot in the door the same way as it's saying Georgetown.
Yeah.
But when you look at the smaller schools.
Like Paul Quinn.
Was it Wiley?
Yeah,
okay.
Wiley.
Some of the smaller ones that people don't know Jarvis. About, how do they have a disadvantage if they don't stay in that said community, right? And I'll throw Clark Atlanta in there too because people know Clark Atlanta. But if you look at the smaller schools that people are not Alabama State University, as long as you're in Alabama, you're fine. but come out of Alabama, no one really knows.
But I think, doesn't that speak more to the top? Because there are what are considered PWIs that people don't know about, like Houston Baptist University. If you go outside of Houston, a lot of people have never heard of them. Or I think East Texas University.
Well, that's Texas A&M now. East Texas State. Or yeah.
But they still have their separate names still.
But they're Texas A&M Commerce. So they got absorbed by Texas A&M Commerce.
Right, but I'm saying even prior to, you didn't know who they were. Or like Texas College. You didn't know who
that's HBCU.
Is it? Mm-hmm. Well, see, like, I think there are smaller universities that people just generally
regional.
Yeah, they don't know about.
I'm just asking. I'm just throwing it out there.
Like Morehouse. Let me add some
history to the texture, because I think that you threw a couple of extra caveats out there. Now, I would not diss LSU or any other institution for whatever reason you chose. Cool, no problem. But I can speak for Morehouse at the time I graduated. We were nationally ranked as far as a top feeder school. That means you wanted to go to a top graduate school, go to Morehouse, right? We had Rhodes Scholars, and we still do. We have more Rhodes Scholars now, right? And on top of that, I went to an institution where 9 times out of 10, the valedictorian, he looks like me. You get what I'm saying? The top in your classes look like you. The competition looks like you. And so what you associate to greatness versus what you associate to inferiority can be flipped now at this point. Because I don't have an inferiority when I'm in the outside world. Because I know in whatever building I'm in, chances are they're not smarter than me. They went to another school, wherever else, they're not smarter than me. And I'm not even going to allow that to even take place. That because you went to this school or this school or this school. Now I'm speaking to Morehouse because I know you threw out that they're a smaller school. So let me jump to there. My mother and my grandfather graduated from Le Moyne on college. At the time my grandfather graduated from there, it was Le Moyne College. And then it merged with Owen Junior College and became Le Moyne One. My mother graduated from there. I have other family there. It's a small, very, very, very small school in Memphis, Tennessee. But the first black mayor of Memphis, Tennessee, Willie Harrington, was a graduate of Le Moyne One College. And as far as the black professionals in that area, they came from Le Moyne One College. What I'm trying to say is, if you look at different regions and different areas, that's not necessarily a bad thing, that you can look at those institutions and still find sources of success, examples of success.
And I believe that. I think, like, for instance, but when you go outside of those regions, everybody know Morehouse.
That's where I was coming from.
Everybody know Morehouse. Everybody know Spelman. Everybody know Howard. Like, those are, you know, like, for a better term, not trying to offend anybody, but like, those are the top. You know, you say those three, it's like you went to Georgetown or, you know, things like that. So when she was trying to, you know, for instance, like, it is regional because Paul Quinn is in Dallas. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a few, you know, there's some good people come out of that, Paul Quinn, but, you know, it might be a little bit harder for them to get a job outside of Dallas, maybe even Houston, because a lot of corporations don't know of Paul Quinn versus you walk through the door, they know Morehouse. Everybody know Morehouse.
But also, I just want to back up for a second, because one thing that you said that stuck out to me is that you said, well, my valedictorian looked like me. And so the inferiority complex you didn't have because your classmates look like you. However, I think that there are challenges as being the only black person in your class.
I could imagine.
You start to set yourself up for, you have that same confidence is mm-hmm. that I'm here for a reason, you know, like if you have some students who come up to you and think that, oh, you're here because you run track. And it's like, hold on, I'm 5'5" and slow. I do not run track. But when you're in the class and, again, you're talking to some students who may have never interacted or engaged with an African-American person, and you're sitting in that same classroom paying that same tuition, and no, my valedictorian didn't look like me, you know? But at the same time, I was still confident that I belonged to be there just as much as any other student at that university. And it didn't matter whether I was the only brown-skinned person in the room. You were going to know who I was, and I belonged to be there.
Ooh, she is rolling her eyes. Can
I go a little bit further from that? So because her valedictorian did not look like her, she was now set up for the real world. Your boss might not always look like you. If you decide, now you have your own practice, correct? Mm-hmm. Now, I decided I had my own practice for just a little bit, and then I went back. My bosses don't look like me. Mm-hmm. I'm okay with that because that is the life that I've always been a part of. That does not offend me. Now, I know there are some people out there that is very offensive. Why do I have to talk to the white man? Why is the white man? Why I have to answer to the white man? And I feel like a lot of times when you're in these PWIs, you're used to just integrating with everybody. Mm-hmm. And so being in the HBCU community, and if you're seeing everybody looks like you, how do you transition from everybody looking like you, your valedictorian looking like you, y'all are set up to think we're amazing, and then you go out to the real world and someone's like,
we don't look like you.
Friend, you're just a black man.
Mm-hmm. And I've worked for people that look like
you. You remind them, I'm not just a black man, but I am a black man. But I'm glad you brought that up. I'm glad you asked.
Yeah, but then they say the position has been filled. Thank you, sir.
And then we build our own. We go out there like Noah.
And we get that art.
And we build it. You hear me? And if you build it, what will happen? They will come.
Well, I worked for an all-black firm when I was in Dallas as a paralegal. Mm-hmm. We're just going to leave it at that.
Okay. Yeah, that has its own struggle.
No, pick your struggle. You have to pick your struggle.
No, but let me say this. I have worked for people of all different backgrounds. And some of them have been really great experiences. Some of them have been not so great experiences. But I can say that just speaks to the person that you are. Some people just aren't meant to run a practice.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And it doesn't matter whether you came out of the earth as green. Mm. If you unorganized and you can't make payroll, you probably shouldn't have a practice.
Period.
Mm-hmm. I don't care whether you black, white, blue, green, yellow. And that just speaks to, because sometimes I think we as individuals, we are harder on our own people sometimes about certain
things. But can I just piggyback right there, because I just wanted to jump in as far as when large corporations want diversity, it's only smart and logical to go to those HBCUs that are in that area and find graduates to come in and intern and funnel in some new faces and new blood. It happens all over, right? Mm-hmm. But it happens even more concentrated at schools like Texas Southern here or PV here. As far as in healthcare, when you're dealing with PV nursing or you're dealing with Dillard and Xavier, right? So it makes sense that, yes, we know that when we go out there in this world, everybody's not going to love us. But at least in this small little gap, in this small little window, I have some memories of people that, you know, they may not have liked me, but the reason why they disliked me didn't have anything to do with me being a black man, right? It's hard enough being a black man in America. At least I got this one spot where I'm cool at.
Well, yeah, but, you know, black women are the most underpaid. But anyway, moving on. So,
it's getting heavy up
say
here.
Say that.
So my question to you guys is, why do you think that HBCUs were created, but other groups that have been marginalized in this country have not? Like, for example, Native Americans, they can go to college for free in this country, but you don't really see a lot of historically Native American college or universities. Justin and I were speaking briefly, and I said, you don't really see a lot of historically Jewish institutions. He said, well, yeah, there are some, but when I looked them up, it was based on the Jewish faith, similar to
like the
Baptist
Christian,
or, you know, or Methodist, but not like the Jewish people. But I know it's a little different because some are one and the same, right? But why do you think that HBCUs were created but other groups didn't create the same institution?
Because we stepped up and said we wanted it.
Ow.
Like, that's just,
we've been saying we wanted reparations for years.
Well, sometimes, well, we started building our arcs, right? We building our arcs up in this building, right? Okay. But you know, I just don't want to. I want to touch on that from the aspect of, is it cultural or is it religious? Sometimes, because you got to know the Dame, that's a Catholic institution, but everybody is not going to be a Catholic priest going and to Notre Dame, right?
Right.
But they identify with Notre Dame and the history and the tradition, and they're proud of it, right? Mm-hmm. And you're going to be even more proud if you're Irish Catholic. And that's okay. You can be proud of the tradition at that institution. You got a yeshiva as far as for the Jewish community. And so on and so forth, right? There are different reasons and foundations and principles that started different institutions. Morehouse was started to turn graduates into preachers and teachers. Like, really? It was a seminary institute.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Historically,
are you a preacher
or a teacher?
Well, it depends on what you need.
Or neither.
I'm blessed. Let me tell you.
Amen. Amen.
Objection, not responding.
But I'm thankful.
We're going to have to table that. We might have to do a part two to let you finish.
Okay.
So we're going to roll into our next segment, which resting my case. What we rest in the case today. Resting our case basically means what we're going to rest, what's going to go out in 2019. We don't want to hear it again. Huh. So, Mr. Justin, what do you want to lay to rest? Is there anything, you don't have to, I mean, is there anything on your heart that you like,
on
I
this
want
topic. I'm sure.
Is on it on this topic?
It's okay. On this topic. Right. Okay. Focus them in. Narrow in them.
More you know,
you know what? I love y'all.
Aww.
I love y'all. And I'm very grateful to be invited here. I just want to continue going forward and allowing people to have these places and spaces to talk honestly. And it's okay.
It's a safe space.
It's a safe space, right?
Yeah.
This is a family environment. When we get into that outside world, it's us against anybody that comes against us, right? And that's what it'll be. It'll be
you
an alliance.
Answer the question.
That was his closing argument.
Right. I rest my case.
Okay. Taria. What about you, Taria?
Okay. So I'm going to rest this idea that if I or one person decides to go to a predominantly white institute, that they're a sellout to our culture and our people. We are not. I just chose the fabulous Louisiana State University. We're more than a football team.
Right.
Samantha, what we resting?
Okay, so I want to rest my case on these financial aid problems of the HBCUs. I want everyone to get their money straight.
On time.
I don't know if it's other PWIs who have financial problems.
I graduated class 2019 at Morehouse, y'all. All right.
And now what I'm saying is the scandals that go along, people stealing, people going out of bankruptcy, you know.
Board of directors trash.
Yeah, and also I got to rest my case. Elizabeth Warren is running for president. She wants to give all this money to the HBCUs. Why don't you give the money to the African-American students and let them choose where they want to go? Not just HBCUs.
Correct.
Give them to the African-American students and let them choose where they want to go.
And then roll it back at least 15.
Well, we're not even going to get on these student loans because we're going to have
that's
a different conversation. That's a different story.
Well, basically, we're going to wrap up and say rest in the case to the financial issues that HBCUs have.
Yeah.
Stop judging if we didn't go to HBCU. And let's just end the debate. And like you said, Mr. Justin, when we walk out this door, we all won.
We
no
all
matter
we
where
got.
You went to school.
And we're all educated.
We all,
we
got.
All educated. Everybody at this table got multiple degrees.
So we did exactly what our parents and our grandparents wanted us to do. Right?
Correct.
So where can they follow you? Like, what are your social media handles? Where can I stalk you at so you can fool me out? And since you went to Morehouse, you can be that billionaire to pay my student loan.
Okay. Well, first of all, we gonna claim it.
In
the name of the blood that I will make it to that Billy. We gonna claim that. But my IG is Justin is Prince Hakeem. It's private, so I don't want any trolls or government entities looking at me.
That's
but
what
other
they
than
teach
that,
you at HBCU.
But They're other than that, if you need to reach me as a lawyer, you can reach me at DandridgeSmithLaw@gmail.com, or you can reach my office at 713-621-5522.
What kind of law you practice, Justin?
General practice, and I'm also affiliated with Anderson & Smith Law, which has a general services of entertainment, criminal, and family.
Cool.
And personal injury.
I know them. Shout out.
Well, subscribe to us on iTunes, Spotify, SoundCloud, and of course you can follow No Further Questions on Facebook, No Further Q on Instagram, and NFQ Pod on Twitter. And you can follow me, your girl Brandy, at Brand_Janae on Instagram. Taria.
The fabulous LSU fan at Simply Being T. We're more than football.
And
the newly wedded Samantha.
Yeah, don't follow me. Follow Jesus.
Right. Hey.
Thank you, and we out.